What is going on, everybody? This is Nico, and you are listening to yet another edition of your favorite podcast in the whole wide world. It is the Nico Show for Tuesday, June 6th, 2017. I'm back! Kind of. I'm in the car. If you haven't deduced that already, my dear Watson, I'm in the vehicle. My vehicle, the vehicle that I drive home, it's my evening commute. I'm recording this on Monday night, and I have enlisted your services, good listener of this podcast. I have enlisted your expertise, your comfort, and your friendship to keep me company on the way home. Here's the deal, guys. I don't have any friends, so I can't really call anyone. My therapist has been telling me to stop talking to the voices in my head. So I've had to let old Bill go. You know, it's a long process of acceptance and rejection. And it's a whole 10-step plan, but I'm slowly trying to phase Bill out of my life. Bill's the pedophile that lives in my head. And we talk about things. We talk about our issues. Me and my my schizophrenia, and him and his attraction to 12-year-old boys. I've been told to stop talking to him, so that gets rid of that option. So I have no choice but to go to my podcast audience. Lucky you. You're going to now keep me company for the little less than an hour that I have on my drive home. How you doing, everyone? I'm sorry. Listen, I know. I understand. I'm sorry. I don't like doing shows in the car. You know, I mean, it's convenient to do them because it's time that I'm sitting around doing nothing anyway. You know, it's an hour and a half of my day that's completely wide open. And it makes for a convenient recording session. But I understand that the audio isn't 100% great. And the content suffers as well. Even though that's not normally top notch. But I don't have time. I don't know if you've been able to tell. But I've been really busy. Okay? Like, really. And, here's the thing. Here we go already. I'm already getting off the rails here. This happens every time I get in the car. I'm going to hit a million tangents. Lot to get to today. We're going to talk a little bit about Trump. Hopefully we'll talk some NBA playoffs at the end of this. And a few announcements and other fun things. So stick around. It's the Nico Show. I'm in the car. It's going to be a fun time. I hate busy people. There's no one I hate more than busy people. Maybe people with vanity license plates I hate more. But number two on that list is busy people. They annoy me. When someone tells me how busy they are, either as an excuse not to do something with me, or as just a general complaint about life, it drives me up the wall. Here's why. If you're a busy person, one, you're making way too much work for yourself. This is a self-inflicted problem. This is more of a you problem than an anybody else problem. And quit complaining about it. The stuff that you're doing is busy work because you cannot sleep at night thinking to yourself that I have not accomplished something today, right? And you toss and you turn, and sometimes you're a little too motivated or you're just neurotic. So you've made work for yourself and quit complaining and get a life already, right? That's either one. Or number two, you're just not busy. And you're just pretending to be busy and you're complaining about it for my sympathy. And you're using it as some sort of excuse to back out of something. Either way, I don't like busy people. And I guess in general, I've always doubted the sincerity of busy people. You know? Because there are some people that are just never busy. And it's not exactly... You would think, okay, non-busy people are ones that exclusively live in their parents' basement for the first 40 years of their lives. And I don't think that's true. I think the line between busy and not busy is fairly evenly drawn. And it encompasses all social status, all gender, and all economic class, right? I don't think that there is any correlation between busyness and success. I really don't. Because I know plenty of unsuccessful people that keep themselves busy with meaningless shit. It's how you spend your time. It's not how much time you're spending, right? It's how far can you stretch your dollar. An investment is not about how much money can I pour into the stock market. It's what stocks am I going to choose to invest in and at what times. And our time is the exact same way. Anyway, I'm really getting off the rails here. Needless to say, I think I have gained a new sympathy for busy people. I still kind of hate them, but I realize that I'm becoming one, and maybe it's a little self-inflicted, and I certainly don't want to be complaining about it, so I won't, even though I just spent 10 minutes on a podcast doing so. But I've been really busy. And it's the type of busy where it's like I get home at like 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, and I have no choice but to just crash. And I have no energy to do a podcast. Or it's a Saturday afternoon and I'd rather sleep till 2. Because my week has been so draining. I've had a lot going on. And some of it has been good. Some of it has been not so good. I've done a lot of traveling. It's been a fun time. And but here's the thing. All is to say, it may hurt the product of this show, and I don't want it to, and I still want to talk about whatever I want to talk about, and I still think that this time is meaningful each and every week that the two of us share with one another. But understand that I got a lot going on, and it's been 2 weeks, I think 3 weeks since I've done the last show, and this one I barely got done. But here's the thing. Loyal listeners of this podcast, you may be annoyed at the sporacity of this podcast. You may be annoyed that, is sporacity a word? No, it's not. The sporadic nature? The scarcity is one. Sparsity is definitely not a word. Or sporacity. The scarcity of this podcast. Maybe you're annoyed by it. Well, I've got good news for you. I'm going to do more podcasts every week. I can barely do this one on a semi-regular basis. So I decided let's add another podcast to my plate. And let's try to do more of the other shows that I've been doing. Let's do Why Is This a Thing every week. Let's try to bring the think tank back. Let's squeeze 2 cents whenever the hell I can squeeze it in. And let's add a new podcast called Movie Hopping. That's right. I've added a new show. It's one that I host with Adam Hall, and it's on the new website, which, by the way, here's another announcement for you. If you haven't read this already or heard this already or seen me talking about it on social media, the Nico Empire is no more. Listen, empires are meant to fall. Even the Romans, like, all died off eventually, you know? Happens. Even the Chicago Bulls start sucking eventually. That's what happens to empires. They're meant to die. And I can now say, as of June 1st, 2017, the Nico Empire is officially dead. The walls have come down. I think locusts have started invading. The water started turning into blood. And the doors of the Nico Empire have shut. But when one empire falls, you leave room for another one to take its place. And in this vacuum that the Nico Empire has created, a new website known as Too Many Thoughts has been born. This is what the Nico Empire is now being called, ladies and gentlemen. Too Many Thoughts is a new internet endeavor. And I am partaking in it with my buddies, Nick Evangelista, Zach Caponegro, and Adam Hall, my co-hosts on Why Is This a Thing? Yeah, here's the deal. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit, and I think I've said this on a few other shows at this point, and it's probably old news. But I was having a conversation with Nick a couple of months ago. Really, he was having a conversation with me. I was just sitting there nodding my head and agreeing with him every once in a while without really listening to what he was saying. But I picked up on the important details along the way, and that's all that matters. Really, he was talking to me, and he was saying, Nico, we really should start taking this podcast thing seriously. We've been doing that show for 2 years. You've been doing the Nico show for almost 3 years. You've been doing 2 cents for 4 years. It's time to buckle down and to at least attempt to build a serious online presence, right? Either we succeed or fail, but we have to at least say that we gave it the old college try. And we came to the conclusion that that's a great idea. It'll be a lot of fun. And we should start it as soon as possible. But there's only one problem. You can't build a successful online presence with a website name like the Nico Empire. It's just a really shitty name. No matter how many ways you dice it, NicoEmpire.com does not scream success, really. It doesn't scream professionalism. It doesn't scream, you know, what it appears like, and this is what the Nico Empire started as, if you hear the name, that's just a clever name for a personal blog. And that's what it was. You know, I created it because I wanted to write a few little blog posts, and I wanted a nice, convenient place to put all the episodes of the Nico show out. But since then, it's become a drastically new thing. And so we went back and forth on new website names for a couple of months, and we had a lot of horrible names. Maybe eventually I'll publish that list of rejected names, but we eventually came to Too Many Thoughts. And it's not a name that I am in love with by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a pretty good name, and I think it summarizes everything that we're all about. We think way too much, we talk way too much on the internet, you know, it's there's just too many of them. For as many thoughts we have, we could always use less. That's my motto. But TooManyThoughtsMedia.com is the new URL. You can also get there by going to TMT.media. Those are the two URLs that'll bring you to Too Many Thoughts. You know, it's going to be more of the same, but with two new shows that just launched this week. We decided to kick off things in the month of June by adding two new video shows. They'll be available, I believe, in both video and audio format. The first is called Backers, and it's hosted by Nick and Zach, in which they talk about crowdfunding endeavors, either GoFundMe pages or Kickstarter campaigns that have tickled their fancy. And the whole gimmick, I guess, on the show is we're going to put our money where our mouths are. So we will actually donate to the campaigns that we endorse on the air and hopefully bring exposure to underreported crowdfunding campaigns. Backers is the name of that program. You can find it again on TooManyThoughts.com or on the Too Many Thoughts YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. There should be a link on the website. And as I said before, the other one is called Movie Hopping. It's a show that myself and Adam Hall host. It is very nerdy, it is very analytical, and you get to watch our two hideous faces, also prepubescent faces, because the two of us look like we're 12 years old. One of us is a giant 12-year-old, and one of us is a midget, and the two of us host a movie show together. In episode one, we talked about Alien Covenant, pretty deep on Alien Covenant. You can watch the first half of the episode on YouTube, on TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, and then the rest of the episode is available in audio format. Again, TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, and that will eventually be available on iTunes to subscribe to it as a podcast. I thought it went really well, the first episode. I would recommend checking it out, and hopefully we'll be able to do that each and every week. So there we go. Too Many Thoughts. It's our new thing. I'm so excited for what it's going to become. And I think, you know what? I'll announce this too. Officially, as I drive home from work, one hand on the steering wheel, one holding my iPhone, and not a clue as to what is going on around me. Yeah, this is, sure, I'll announce it. 2 cents Radio will be moving to TooManyThoughts.com. Two Cents Radio, hosted by Rob and I. It will call TMT Media, as we're calling it, its new home within the next couple of weeks. This is going to be a lot of fun, guys. Hopefully, we're going to consolidate everything together into this one well-oiled machine. It's going to lead to creative endeavors that I've been wanting to do for a while. It's going to challenge us. It's going to be something new and fresh and exciting. And I hope you interact with it and enjoy it along the way. TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. All right, enough with the plugs. Let's get into it. The Nico Show. How much longer do I have on my drive home? About a half hour, I think. Plenty of time. Let's talk about my personal life. Guys, I have a problem. I say this a lot on this show, because I have a lot of problems in my life. But some of them are philosophical problems. Some of them exist only in my head. And do not have any answer or cure in sight. These are problems that are not as tangible as the one that I'm about to talk about. But I will have you know that something happened to me, to my family, and to my neighbors, many of whom I consider close friends of mine, this past week. Folks, there's a bear in my neighborhood. I have a bear problem. No, I'm not talking about a large gay man who has a lot of chest hair and enjoys cuddling with someone substantially scrawnier than him. No, I'm talking about the mammal. It's a mammal, right? Yeah, it's warm-blooded. A bear's a mammal. I'm talking about a motherfucking grizzly bear. This has never happened before. I hope it will never happen again, but it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight to this conundrum. But there's a fucking grizzly bear lurking around my neighborhood, crawling into my trash, eating all of the food items in the garbage can, scratching at trees, terrifying young children, and leaving me with nightmares every night. So here's the story. I'm scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I happen upon a random post. I don't even remember who posted it, but it was a photograph from a street that is fairly close to the one that I live on. And I saw a picture of a giant mama grizzly bear with the caption, "Look who's hanging around this particular road." I thought that this was quite amusing, simply because it was fairly close to me. This is not something that you hear about every day in small town Connecticut, in the burbs, as they call it. This sort of news makes headlines. So I thought it was quite amusing, but assumed that this would be a problem that would quickly pass, and certainly not one that I would have to deal with. Well, I get home that day from whatever I was doing, and I go into my backyard, and I see that our garbage can has been knocked over. There's food all over the place. The garbage bags in the garbage can have been torn apart, and there are scratch marks on the side of the barrel. And it is becoming instantly clear to me. It clicked immediately. Holy shit, the bear got in our yard. The bear is hanging out. It is way closer to home than I am comfortable with. You know what I mean? It's like the threat is always amusing until it comes knocking on your door. Until it happens to you. Right? Didn't Lady Gaga have a song about that? Here's the deal. Oh, wow. Sorry. Apologize. That's what happens when you do a podcast on the road. Street cleaners, they'll just make a shit ton of noise next to your car. Sorry, and it'll fuck up your audio. So I was horrified by this. And So I let some of my neighbors know, and I let my family know, and I wasn't the only one that noticed that the bear had made it into our neighborhood that day. A neighbor of mine took several pictures of the bear in real time, saw it snooping around in everybody's yard, basically. A lot of video, a lot of photographs. Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. And now you would think that's the end of it. But no, ladies and gentlemen, the bear made a return a few days later. And if that wasn't horrifying enough, not only does this bear refuse to leave our lives, but we learned a new piece of information about the mama bear that day. And I guess it says it in the name. But you can't have a mama bear without baby bears. That's right, folks. What's terrifying, more terrifying than one grizzly bear in your neighborhood? Five grizzly bears in your fucking neighborhood. Mama has four babies. And those cubs decided to take a stroll down Nico's street the other day. The entire Berenstain Bear family peeped its head out of the woods, started going through garbage again. This time, animal control was called, and it was a whole situation. I saw the animal control arrived. I'm not sure exactly what they did to solve the situation. I mean, short of capturing the bear and taking it as far away as humanly possible, I don't see exactly what you can do. But this is horrifying, and now every time I leave the house, whenever I open the garage, whenever I step outside my front door, I have to have my eyes wide open, because that bear could be on the prowl at any time, and it's got cubs that it has to feed. I'll tell you what, a slightly pudgy, 6 foot tall, 21-year-old that looks like he's 13, ripe for the picking if you're a grizzly bear. A lot of meat on these bones. Actually, not a lot of meat on these bones, but a lot of fat would make for a good dessert at the very least. So, in preparation for this, I decided to do some research on how to deal with a grizzly bear. And I saw these tips that you hear everywhere. And my question, I guess, for you all is, how do we know that these are accurate? The first thing that I read online on whatever random Wikipedia page I was scrolling through was the piece of advice that you hear everywhere. And that is, if you see a grizzly bear, don't run, stay in place, and make yourself look big. This has always sounded like the stupidest piece of advice you could possibly imagine. Here's the thing. I want to know what the success story is. I want to know who's the guy that when he saw a grizzly bear staring him down from 100 yards away, when he saw that grizzly starting to flare its nostrils, kick its feet back, right? Starting to stretch as though he's about to do a 100-yard dash. When he saw that thing in nature, and he decided to stand his ground and go on his tippy toes, I want to know what his experience was like, and I want absolute proof that it worked. Because I haven't heard from any of these guys. Probably because they don't exist. Because if you see a fucking grizzly bear, you're going to run. And there's a few things that I don't want to be in life. One of them is the guy that gets killed by the grizzly bear running away from him because he's not fast enough. But the guy that I want to be even less is the guy that stands his ground like a fucking idiot and dies without putting up a fight. The last guy I want to be is Leo DiCaprio in The Revenant. People are mistaking you for a bear rape victim, you know? People are examining the tape like a Zapruder film and saying, did this bear rape Leo DiCaprio? Why didn't he run? He's 5'7". How big does he expect to look? I don't think that guy exists. I understand the thing, right? Like, if you start running from a bear, it'll assume that you're prey. Which, newsflash, yar. Yar prey. At that point, when I'm staring a bear in the face, I am not considering myself at the top of the food chain. I am 100% I am the victim in that relationship. And there's no sense pretending otherwise. Number two, I don't know how much you can fool. I don't know what this means to look big. This has never made any sense to me. I don't know how you can look any bigger other than, again, standing on your tippy toes, puffing your chest out a little bit. I don't think the bear fucking cares. You know, it's like the kid that plays hide and go seek, hiding behind the curtains. His thought process is, you know, I can't see the guy, therefore the guy can't see me. But he really looks like an idiot because he can see his ankles underneath the curtains. That's the equivalent. You are a 5-year-old playing hide and seek if you are making yourself look big to a mama grizzly bear. There is no optical illusion. Siegfried and Roy could not figure out a way to make themselves look big against a mama grizzly bear. It's ridiculous. The other thing they tell you, don't get in between you and the cub. Well, no shit. I'm sorry, don't get in between the mama bear and the cub. No shit. If you're in a position where you're in between the mama bear and its cub, you've done something wrong. At that point, I would encourage you to run away. Don't make yourself look big. And if you're getting that close, you deserve to get mauled. I want to know what crocodile hunter, you know, what Steve Irwin motherfucker decided to apply all of these tips and tricks in the actual wilderness with a mama bear, because I have to assume that the success rate is zero on that. I don't know, man. If I run into this mama bear again, which seems to be pretty likely, I am running as far away as possible, and I'm gonna die going down with a fight. I'm not making myself look big. What Wizard of Oz shit is that? Don't look behind the curtain. All right, well, that's all that's pretty much going on in my life. I really got nothing more for you. Should we talk Trump or should we save it? I'm already a half hour into this thing. I didn't want to do a full... Well, I'm only like 20 minutes away. Here's the thing. There's a lot to talk about with Trump. Let's save it. I think probably at the end of the week, maybe Friday or Saturday of this week, I'll do a full Trump recap, a whole this week in the Trump presidency, because we have the Comey testimony coming this Thursday. And it's going to be must-see TV. I've seen articles for this. This is like the most hyped-up political event since the election. I 100% believe it. All of the news stations are like carving out a part of their afternoons to televise the Comey hearing. He's going to be testifying about in front of a grand jury about the Russia investigation and what Donald Trump did or did not say to him in the Oval Office concerning the Russia investigation. We will see how big of a story this actually is. We will get a very good sense of the validity and newsworthiness of this whole Russia investigation by Thursday. This is certainly the biggest development in it. And I'm going to be sitting there with my arms crossed, waiting for them to impress me. I have not heard anything compelling yet. We will see if anything compelling comes of this testimony on Thursday, but this is huge, 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 huge. I will do a full recap of that either Friday or Saturday of this week. And no, I'm not going to talk about Covfefe. I refuse to do it, man. I refuse to do it. It's not me. Actually, it 100% is me. That is something that I would talk about on this show. Here's the thing. I don't know how to pronounce the damn word. He was clearly trying to type out conference, and then he fell asleep with his phone in his lap. and accidentally tweeted out Cuff Fefe. And the fact that everybody's paying attention to it is exactly the reason why Donald Trump is now the president of the United States. That's all I have to say about that. Full Trump show coming at the end of the week. Can't wait to talk about it. Should be a good time. Okay. NBA Finals. Let's talk some hoop. Let's talk about some basketball. Man, this isn't fun for anybody. I am not having a good time. I'm not. And I guess the only way to start this conversation, the day after the Cleveland Cavaliers got blown out by the Warriors yet again, going down 2-0 on the series, with a performance from Golden State that makes them appear all but invincible. The only way that I can start this conversation in good conscience is that, yeah, I was wrong. Or maybe I wasn't wrong. Maybe I was right. The jury is still out on it, but a couple of weeks ago I came on here and told you all to quit complaining. Why do we hate greatness so much? Why are we so apprehensive about this Warriors dynasty? Why don't we enjoy the high stakes that we're playing with? This is clearly one of the greatest teams of all time. I would make the argument, and probably will, when this final series is over, that they are the greatest team of all time. And this should be something that we are celebrating. This should be something that is good for the league. We should stop scapegoating Kevin Durant for the lack of parity and the lack of competitiveness in the playoffs so far. We should stop overreacting, and we should enjoy the finals for what it is. And maybe this is true. I mean, the ratings have certainly have certainly been impressive. The ratings show no lack of interest in the National Basketball Association. Fans are really hyped for this finals. Although game one was a blowout, the game two ratings were still very, very good. And I don't imagine that the rest of the games will decline in interest. But I will say this. I can only speak on feelings, because that's what this show is all about. At the end of the day, the Nico Show is about what is in my heart, not what is in my head. It's about what I'm feeling, it's about my gut reaction, and I can only say this. I watched game two last night, and I was not enjoying myself. And I have to imagine that I'm not alone in this. LeBron James, in my opinion, is still the greatest basketball player in the world. I am annoyed by the fact that this is even a conversation. The Durant versus LeBron James conversation is infuriating to me. If LeBron had the talent that Durant has around him now, I don't believe that this would even be a topic of discussion. I don't believe that Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp would be yelling at each other over it. Sure, Durant looks like the best player in the series because he's on one of the all-time great teams, and it provides opportunities for him on the court that LeBron has not been afforded. That dude played his ass off last night. Had 10 assists in the first half. Wore himself down so much that he was a non-factor in the second half. I mean, he was just tired. Tristan Thompson has been a no-show. J.R. Smith does not deserve to be on the same court as these guys. Kyrie was sort of disappointing last night. Kevin Love has been pretty good in this series. But at the end of the day, the second and third best players in the world are on the other team. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry look unstoppable because they are unstoppable. These are two of the greatest offensive weapons the league has ever seen. And to put them on the floor together with one another, I mean, you can guard one all you want, and then you have to leave the other one open by necessity. They're just outmanned. They just don't have the ammunition. The Cavs do do not have any combination of players, any offensive scheme, any defensive scheme, any game plan, any best case scenario that is good enough to beat this Warriors team. There is no combination of players. And here's the sad thing about this. And we can have a larger conversation about Kevin Durant's move in a couple of weeks. We will surely do a longer podcast about this. But by the looks of it, I do not see any combination of players. Taking into consideration any of the free agents this year, any of the players that are about to become free agents, any of the salary cap situations, any of the current rosters, I do not see any combination of players that could feasibly assemble within the next 2 to 3 years that has a chance of beating this team. Assuming that nobody gets hurt, assuming that this Warriors dynasty sticks together for the next 3 years, assuming that Kevin Durant doesn't opt out, assuming that Steph doesn't leave for more money. I do not see any combination of players that can beat this Warriors team within the next 2 to 3 years, and that is depressing to me. This just doesn't seem fair. This seems a step too far. I've always said that domination is good for every sport. I've always said that dynasties are exciting. I've always said that greatness is something that should be celebrated and admired no matter what the outcome of the games. But this feels like it's over the line. This is Kevin Durant joining a team that already had 73 wins, a team that was already poised to win the finals, and putting them out of reach. And to watch LeBron James play his ass off, to have 10 assists in the first half, to have a triple-double last night, and for it to not even matter, for it to result in a 20-plus point game, doesn't feel right. For the best player in the world to potentially be swept in the NBA Finals, after playing very, very well, I think that means that something's wrong with the system. And I'm just not having a good time. And I have to imagine that no one else is having a good time either, other than, I guess, hardcore Warriors fans, which I don't consider myself these days. Game 2 was boring. Game 1 was boring. Games 3 and 4, I imagine, will also be boring, despite the fact that they will be hosted in Cleveland. And guys, LeBron's still the best player in the world, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care what Finals MVP Durant... Listen, we'll talk about this at a later date. I'm approaching my home right now, so we do have to wrap up this conversation a little bit. But for all this hype, I mean, this can't be good for anybody. And I think the league really has, Adam Silver and the NBA have to take a good look at this situation. And they have to be thinking to themselves, have we given players too much power? Have we tilted the rules in favor of the players a little too much? Have we given them too much control over their destiny? Because we're only going to get more super teams out of this. The Cavs are only going to get better next year because they're going to sign another superstar. Great players, I should say, are only going to want to play with each other more, not less. And so to watch these two teams just nuke up, like the Axis and Allies powers of World War II, like this can't be good for anybody, you know? Let's see more players in the mix. I mean, there's so many other exciting young players in the league right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, right? The Celtics have an interesting thing going on, even though they can't conceivably make it out of the East over the next 3 years. John Wall is great in Washington. James Harden and the Rockets. The Spurs are always great. For all of those really good players, and for all of these superstars that we have, these big personalities, the MVP race was so fun this year. To see it all not count, Because at the end of the day, these two super teams are just going to be going back and forth. And in this case, it's going to be a pretty lopsided back and forth over the next couple of years. It's just very disappointing for me. And I'm not looking forward to the rest of this finals. It's been an incredible disappointment. And yes, guys, I was wrong. And that's it. There we go, guys. Thank you for keeping me company on my ride home. I really appreciate it. That's going to do it for this edition of the Nico Show. Again, TooManyThoughtsMedia.com or TMT.media are the two URLs that will get you to our new website. Subscribe to all our new podcasts, Backers, Movie Hopping, Why Is This a Thing, 2 Cents Radio, The Think Tank, and this here Nico Show. That is the slate of programming that we have each and every week on this new endeavor. I'm so excited about it, and I hope that you will join me every step of the way. I will hopefully be back later on in the week for some Trump talk here on the Nico Show. And I don't know, maybe some more NBA talk if this series ends in 4 games. Oh, Lord, we might be done with this by the end of next week. Man. All right. Thank you for bearing with me, guys. I don't love doing these episodes in the car, but it's just a necessity thing. But I'm glad that you stuck with me if you did make it this far. And I'm going to try to get better about this, but man, so damn busy these days. Tweet me at FunnyNicoTweets. Email me Nico@2centsradio.com. And ladies and gentlemen, until next time, please tune in to the Nico Show, where you, yes, you, will finally hear the story of Lord Steve. Love y'all.